Okay, we are all set. Kate Conrad.
Here.
David Van Allen. Lynn Okun.
Here.
Ann Johnson.
Here.
Jonathan Berger. Maria Moore.
Here.
Elizabeth Redstreed and John Suka.
Did everybody have a chance to read the minutes from the last meeting? Maria, I think, were you at the last meeting? Did you just come late to that one or did you miss it?
No, I had a conflict that day. I couldn't make it.
Oh, okay, for some reason I was thinking that you were there, but you were just late, so that's correct.
No, I missed it, unfortunately.
Okay. Do we have any corrections or edits to the minutes? If not, we'll need a move to approve.
Don't move.
Second. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. The minutes are approved. Okay, do we have public input today?
I don't think we have anyone signed up for public input. So the action item we have today, Brent Neighbor and Pam Lewis, as you can see here, guests who are going to be presenting on this, the Czech Village sculpture. And with that, I will let Brent take it from here. And Brent, just let me know when you want me to change slides.
Sure. Yeah, you bet. So good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for letting me present on this. My name is Brent Neighbor. I'm City of Cedar Rapids Park Superintendent. And just a little rundown of our request here. So this property is, as you can see, located on 16th Avenue Southwest. And the Kozik Bandstand is right there where the number 60 is, and there are two trees that needed to come down because of the derecho, and that's approximately where the star is located. And so Pam Lewis and Mary Kay Novak McGrath approached the city about the possibility of installing a wood carving of those trees that needed to come down. So what we had our forestry department come in and then cut the trunk of that tree approximately, six or so feet up in the air and take the top off and take that away. So that way the trunk could be left to do a carving. And if you want to move to the next slide, Sylvia, Pam and Mary Kay have been in contact with the artist Nate Greiner, and they're familiar with his work, which, as you can see, he specializes in morel mushroom carvings. And their thought would be that this would be a great addition to the park right there, and it would obviously fit right in with the Hobie days. And their original thought would be that we would put one in, or the Czech Village Association would carve one. But since there are two trees right there, there's a possibility that two of these could go in. These are some examples. As you can see, the upper right is a larger one, and like Nate told me, this was kind of an early rendering of his artwork. And as he's progressed and got more skilled and come up with different versions, he has really diversified what the morels look like. So Pam, do you have anything to add to this?
Not really. He has been in contact with us and he told us that he's going to
And in order to do the carvings, he's going to have to wait till it's a little bit warmer because he has to treat the trees afterwards to seal them. And that can't be done until it's a little bit warmer. So we're talking probably, maybe he said the end of March, but probably April before he would be able to do the actual carving and sealing on the trees.
Okay. And then I'm not sure if this really pertains to the commission or not, but the funding would all be taken care of through the Czech Village Association, and the care thereafter would be taken care of the Czech Village Association. Really, our request is that this be allowed on city property, and then a maintenance agreement would be drafted and signed by both parties before work began. So
we have two benefactors who have come forward and said they would pay for the crafting, the artist costs on this. And we have a standing agreement with the Parks Department regarding that kind of area anyway, because of the Kosek bandstand that is there that was erected by the Czech Village Association many, many years ago. And so we've sort of taken care of it all these years. And we have now a written agreement with the city regarding that. So this sort of comes right in with it. It's covered by our insurance that covers our commitment to the city for the bandstand. So
how big would these be?
Oh,
bigger than the one with the bush light.
About 6 foot high. They're a little bit taller than I am. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. I saw the one over here with the bush light can, and I thought maybe that one.
If any of you come to, any of you have come to Hobie Days, this artist has set up at Hobie Days every year and sells the smaller ones that people put in their yards and stuff. So,
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is going to come through or not, but here's I don't know if you can see that very well. This is a picture of his business card, and in the lawn area here, it shows a whole, quite a few different renderings that he's got and he sells. So anything from like this one, which would be a miniature version, which could fit on your coffee table, all the way up to, 6 foot tall. And then to get that shading in there, he'll carve out a divot, and then he'll take a propane torch and then darken that. And then after he's done and he's got all the shading the way that he wants it, then he goes ahead and seals it in with a sealer.
Does it have to be resealed periodically?
I asked him that question too, and he said, well, not really. I mean, the idea with any kind of exterior natural wood carving is that you want it to age like it would as if it were a tree. And so I don't know. I think that's something we just have to revisit if it looked like it needed to be resealed or it needed some work on it.
So what kind of maintenance is there with this then?
Knocking the leaves away from it. I mean, there really isn't. It's just going to be there. And there's no repainting or anything like that would need to be done.
So a main agreement with the city then is there's no maintenance, right?
Well, not particularly. Obviously, if someone did something to the sculpture, then we would have to go in and take care of it.
Okay.
But I think it's just sort of isn't it, Brent, just sort of a standard agreement with everybody? If you've got something on city property, you have to agree to maintain it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just
and we usually have put together an MOU, like a memorandum of understanding that kind of spells that out. So that way, when there's turnover, then everybody's on the same page.
To clarify for commission members, this is a little bit different than the gift applications we look at sometimes. Czech Village Association is going to own this piece of art, take care of all the maintenance, insurance, everything on that end. The reason it's coming before you is because it's going to be placed on city property. So that requires a recommendation from the VAC. So that's what we're looking for today. Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of questions. The first one is, has this artist done any of these carvings on a larger scale, like what these would be, since they're going to be up to 6 feet tall?
I think he said he had, Brett, didn't he, when we talked with him?
Yeah, he did. And actually, the one up in the upper right is one of those examples. It's hard. And that's, I think, why he put the beer can next to the one on the bottom left, is to give you some scale. But anyway, the one on the top right is one of his larger pieces. And so, yes, he does have experience in this in the past, because that was one of my first questions also.
And my second question is, so the trees are technically, they've just been chopped off from the top, right? So they're still actually in the ground?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, so a tree that is still in the ground still has the root system, and even if you chop a tree off at the top, they will still try to sprout out some kind of growth. How is he going to stop it? How will he stop it from doing that? Is he going to inject it or something with something that'll keep it from growing? Because in essence, that would kill the roots, and it would be possible for it to start to rot.
So, when we first talked about it on site, one of the things that Nate he repeated a couple different times was that it's going to depend on the condition of the tree once he gets into it. So there is a possibility that this, it's intended, from everything that we can see on the tree so far, it looks like it would accept this just fine. But once you start carving it and getting into it, if there happened to be some rot or something like that, that's why we wanted to keep both trees intact, so that way if one, happened to show that it wasn't a good candidate for it, we could go to the other tree. But as far as it wanting to sprout, chances are that's not going to come into play in these scenarios, because he's getting so far into the heartwood that it's pretty much, for the most part, most of the trees taking up nutrients and water happens on the outside of the tree, closer to the bark, and not as much into the inside. So we're gonna be cutting almost all of that off in this instance.
Well, I mean, I was just wondering about that, because I have seen many instances where a person has chopped the top of a tree off, but left the tree in the ground, left the tree still, the rest of it standing as it was. So then I saw where the trunk of the tree actually tried to create new sprouts from other areas.
Yeah.
You mean like suckers?
Yeah.
Suckers like to come up?
Well, I think it just, they just try to regenerate and create new growth. If the root system is still strong, and if there's still ways for the tree to get nutrition and nourishment, it will still try to survive. It will still try to put out growth.
Yeah. It won't thrive, but it'll try to survive, yeah.
It'll try, yes.
I guess the only thing. And the other thing I would say is that that's part of the reason why we said we'll we'll take care of it. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll watch it. And of course, you know, with us, with the city, their tree, their arborist would be able to give us some advice if we start having a problem. And we had agreed with Nate that if the tree was not able to maintain the sculpturing policy or program, that the tree would then just have to come down.
So is there a plan for any informational plaque or you know, educational information? Because I know we get a lot of visitors to that area, and maybe they're not in the know about Hobie Days and Morels.
We had talked about doing something this May, keeping our fingers crossed that we're going to be able to do a Hobie Days, and doing some sort of a presentation kind of thing. But I think a plaque would be nice. That's something we can investigate about the mushroom and the Czech culture and the morel mushroom in particular.
Great. Are there further questions from anybody? If not, commissioners, let's see what people think about a recommendation.
Well, I think I have mentioned before in previous meetings that, you know, because the derecho was such a horrific event that has devastated so many of our trees, I'm for seeing the trees used in art rather than being chipped up and shredded like so many of them are. So I think this would be great. My only concern was because it would still be in the ground and have the roots, I didn't know how it would react. You know, someday you might come out there and there'd be leaves sprouting off out of this area or something.
Could be comical.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, it would be the tree really wanting to come back.
Yeah.
But I think this would be cute. I mean, that'd be great. Plus, it's also it's a part of the Czech heritage, and so I think it would be fitting.
Lynn and John, what are your thoughts?
Yeah,
great idea. So
I'm up for it.
Yeah, I think it's good too.
Great idea.
David?
Yeah, I like the idea. I think it's fun.
Great. It's fun. Yeah, me too. I think it's wonderful. So, and we appreciate you bringing it before us to have some consultation. It's a wonderful idea.
Thank you.
So I think with all those yeses, the commission does recommend moving forward with this project.
Does someone want to claim to have made the motion in the second just for the formality?
Well, I think Maria should have made the motion. She said yes first.
Okay, Maria made the motion, and who was second?
I'll second.
Okay. David seconds.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. This is unanimously. Thanks again, Pam and Brent, for presenting to us today.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I look
forward to seeing this happen in the spring.
Yes, let's all keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully we'll have a beautiful spring this year with lots of morels to look at and to eat.
Well, we'll look forward to an invitation to the opening.
Perfect. Perfect.
Thanks, everybody. It's thanks for hearing us. It's always, you know, you don't ever know if it's a really good idea until you try to vet it in front of other people outside of your circle. So it's we appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So the only other item I have today is a discussion item about the Visual Arts Master Plan scope of services. And oops, let me share my other screen. Or wait, no, I could have just switched tabs.
Real quick, while you're sharing it, Kate, I like your tree.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's really nice.
We're not going to take it down.
Oh, it's, you keep it up.
That's what I've been doing too.
Yeah, we just thought
it gets super dry and becomes a huge fire hazard.
Keep it up. We just thought that this year, everything that brings a little more light and happiness into the to our lives, we would just keep it. So we're leaving the tree up.
So I bought a real tree this year for the first time in years because I usually have artificial. And the only reason I took it out of the house school is because it started dropping needles like crazy. And I put it out in a snow pile. And now it looks like I have a tree in my front yard in the snow pile.
Just wait. Cardinals will start nesting in there and then you'll have to keep it till spring.
Oh, that's okay. I'll be happy to have it there if it lasts that long.
So I just wanted to share with the group what I've put together for a scope of services for the Visual Arts Master Plan. A lot of the stuff in the beginning is just kind of an intro to potential consultants, kind of background on the VAC or funding, various plans that talk about public art. And then we can kind of look at this in a bit more detail. And any feedback you guys have is completely welcome. Right now, I'm just getting started working with the finance department's purchasing team. And so they'll help me kind of package this up, get proposals. And then the other thing I should mention is in the review process, if any of you would like to volunteer to help out with that, once we get to the point of reviewing proposals, I think it would be great to have one or two commission members. Usually it's four or five people or so on kind of a review panel, including city staff and, in this case, commission members.
Reviewing, what are we reviewing?
It would be for the proposals that we get for consultants to do the Visual Arts Master Plan.
Yeah, I'm happy to serve on that.
Okay. Anyone else interested?
I'm still not clear what it is that the project is that needs our representation. What is it? What is it again?
I'll go through it first and we can kind of come back to who wants to help out with it. So this is something we've been talking about for the past several months, is having a Visual Arts Master Plan done. And basically what we're looking for in that is kind of a more cohesive kind of medium term 5 to 10 year plan for what this group should be doing in terms of visual arts. So instead of kind of coming up with a project every time an opportunity comes up, or kind of thinking back to with the Lantern Art project, how I think this group vetted a number of sites before settling on that one, just kind of having some guidance on, you know, what this commission should be doing medium and long term. So kind of putting together, we want to make sure that public participation is a big part of this plan. So getting input from not only the arts community, but the downtown district, Czech Village Nouveau folks, like we just talked to, parks, people, I mean, basically any stakeholders who have an interest in public art. And that could be from kind of an arts side or from an economic development placemaking side. So we're looking for a consultant who can kind of take the lead on this plan, who has more experience doing arts planning than we have internally. So basically, this kind of gives an outline of what we're expecting the consultant to do. Look at the work that this group has been doing and all of our public arts policies, and also kind of give us some background on what other communities are doing, especially communities that have a comparable visual arts commission or similar group. And then kind of similar to the work plan that this group does annually, but for a longer period of time, I think it would likely be a 10-year plan, come up with some goals and then policies or action steps to achieve those goals. And then those would show up each year in the work plan, not necessarily all at once, but it would kind of give us some framework for projects each year. We're also looking for them to take a look at some opportunities for locations that need artwork or where we have gaps in our collection, any funding strategies for how we use our budget each year, and potentially looking into things like grants or ways to leverage other funding sources as well. Could be some interesting information they could give us. And then just kind of some research and background on any unique opportunities we might have in Cedar Rapids. One that we've had some questions about recently is large scale murals on the grain silos adjacent to 380. There's been some questions about that. The flood control system is another big project that might have opportunities to incorporate art. And then the public outreach process, typically staff takes the lead on that part, but we would need the consultant to kind of help guide us in that as well. So then kind of the end product that we're looking for is a report that gives those goals action steps, and then an implementation plan that gives kind of a timeline. And then of course the city will want to review that draft before the final. And then the other product might be any graphics or maps or materials that we need for the public outreach process. So that is kind of an overview of what we're looking for, but just kind of wanted to bring it to the group and see if anyone had any thoughts on anything else that would be helpful to include in this plan, or I mean, really just any feedback or.
So Sylvia, on the public outreach part of this, in terms of the developing the plan, not public outreach for what we're currently doing, would the consultant actually be involved in that? You said staff would take care of that, or is it, would it be, you know, staff and the contractor collaborating on that?
Typically, we'd like them to attend and help us present. Staff would kind of take the lead in setting things up, inviting people. You know, internally, we have decent amount of experience doing things like open houses and some experience doing those things virtually in the past year. So, you know, what that public engagement looks like seems like it's probably going to be more on the virtual side, unless maybe in the summer some kind of outdoor engagement session is possible. But yeah, it would definitely be a collaboration. And we, yeah, it's important that the consultant is incorporating what we get out of that public engagement into the plan.
And how much control do we have over, I mean, I don't want to say control. You know, like what are we going to ask the public to engage with? Like, all pieces of this plan, or are we going to say, you know, we really are interested in having you help us look for sites or
like look for other opportunities
or other opportunities?
It'll probably be broader, so kind of getting a better understanding of what the public is looking for from their public art, what they like, what they don't like. Kind of, yeah, sense of locations, where do people think we need more art? Kind of getting a sense of what people's goals are. It typically doesn't get too deep into the details on public engagement, but just trying to, you know, understand what people want to see. And then typically with public engagement, we'll do something towards the beginning of the planning process and then something towards the end when we're getting close to having a final product. So we'll come back and say, here's what we heard from the public, here's the plan. Sometimes we'll ask the public to help identify priorities from action steps or just kind of give people an opportunity to have some last feedback once they're looking at more of a product.
Okay.
Sylvia, I don't remember when it's hoped that we would have this person in place, and then how long it's going to take for that magic plan to develop, if you will.
So the timeline for getting the plan done is probably 9 or so months, give or take. In terms of when we could identify or get someone on board, I'm still working with finance on getting the proposal out there. I would say by the end of January, we should be able to get the proposal out. I think they usually like to, or the request for proposal, I think they usually like to keep that around for 3 or so weeks to give people a chance to respond. So we're kind of looking at late February, early March for when we'd select a consultant.
Okay, thank you.
So this will actually be a lot of our work next year.
Yeah, and I think we'd probably do kind of periodic check-ins with the commission. So it probably wouldn't be on every single agenda, but as we're getting towards different milestones in the planning process, I want to make sure the group is up to date with what's going on.
One more question. This consultant, once the plan is set and approved by all, will the consultant be active or contacted, accessible during that 10-year timeframe of implementation?
You know, there's a little bit less guarantee on that, but I would say in my past experience working with consultants, just about everyone I've worked with has been pretty open to, like, if questions come up a year later.
Well, you know, I guess given our history in this last couple of decades, I wonder about if we had another big natural disaster or something that came up that really was disruptive to the plan, then we would need to revisit. So I guess that's where I am. Not that I'm hoping for that, but you know.
Yeah, so sometimes with things like that, we could do an update to the plan, and we could either hire the same consultant if it's an extensive enough update that we think we need a consultant again. Sometimes we'll also do like an in-house update to a plan.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions, comments?
I'm just excited that we're really moving forward with this and that City Council was so supportive of this as a plan, because it's, you know, it's not free. And I think it speaks to their support for what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really helpful for the commission. Just to kind of have some longer term goals. And I mean, I'm just excited about having kind of like a map of spaces where we need art.
And I'm excited about having communities involved in helping us identify some of those spaces, because I think that's been really missing from our process. Mm-hmm. And I hope we get some robust involvement from the public.
Yeah, I'm excited about that part as well. I feel like beyond, you know, an article in the Gazette, we don't necessarily get a ton of feedback on art pieces. We don't know. People love it. People hate it. People don't notice it.
Right.
You know, so it's a good opportunity to get kind of some public feedback and just get a better sense of what people are looking for, what people like about public art.
Well, I think this looks good, Sylvia. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And then, Lane, I have you down to help review proposals from consultants. Anyone else interested? Anne?
I would, sure.
Sounds
what is
good.
I just have a quick question here. What is the origin of the idea for a consultant to come in? Is this something that the city council has tossed over to us to think about, or was this did somebody bring it to the council and ask them to put it in the right mailbox, or did we inadvertently request one?
I do think it came from this group. I think the seed of the idea came from this group.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the reason for a consultant rather than doing it in-house is for something more specialized like this. I think we gain a lot of value from having outside eyes on it and having someone who's more familiar with public art programs nationwide. The most similar example I can think of is the Historic Preservation Master Plan that was done a handful of years back. And that's another one that, you know, had a fairly specialized consultant. And I think that also was useful and that it provided kind of a different perspective on Cedar Rapids historic preservation.
Uh-huh.
I think consultants come in really handy because a lot of them have traveled and looked at what other communities have done. And they see a wide variety of how different communities choose to incorporate art into their areas. So, I mean, they have a wide range of things that they can, you know, maybe make suggestions on or just, you know, even show us other options that we could have. So I think that'll be good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
I like the idea. It seems to me before we had so many different groups, sort of somebody's over here doing this, somebody's over there doing that. And we're not all cohesive and had one cohesive plan. Plus when it came time and we said, oh, we have money, trying to, you know, where are we going to put it? You know, it was like running around there. Head chopped off, it seemed like. We had so many different locations for this last piece that fell through. And it'd just be nice to know ahead of time instead of, oh, now we got to find a place. Instead, we know where we're going to go when we have the money, which I like.
Yeah, and that's a good point, that it's a good opportunity to engage some of these other groups that do public art projects, whether it's like Economic Alliance, Murals and More, any of the other neighborhoods, those people will definitely be invited to the public engagement process. And I think this might help things be a little bit more cohesive because then instead of like, well, the Visual Arts Commission's goal is X, it's more like the city's art goal and everyone participated in putting this plan together. There's kind of broader buy-in. So I think that's a really helpful piece.
Well, I think the Wayf bearing signage too needs to be part of it, because it sounded like we were sort of going, you know, and like the lighting that went on the bridges was something, and then the wall, the flood wall was like, okay, this is this design. We never seem to all be pulling in the same direction next year. So I'd like to see a really bringing of everybody in.
Yeah, we can definitely kind of talk about some of those things too. Anything else on this one?
So sites were brought up. So if for example, they came up with a list of sites, would then the city take that list of sites and look at them as possibilities? Because usually when they fell through because, oh, there's a construction project or there isn't enough, you know, the concrete won't hold it or there's something underneath there. And so will this help keep that from being a constant, you know, irritation, or are we going to have to go through those one by one every time we want to look at a site?
In general, it'll get rid of a lot of those issues because probably, so we'll be working really collaboratively with the consultants on that list of sites. So rather than, you know, they just give us a map and walk away, it'll be something where city staff, and I'll pull in definitely Public Works and probably park staff as well to help with that. So yeah, it'll be more of an analysis of like, okay, where are good locations and what are feasible locations? So yeah, kind of eliminating some of that, like, oh, surprise, this isn't gonna work.
Well, yeah, because that it wasn't even just the surprise it's not going to work, it was the time it took. It took up so much time where we deliberate, people would come to an agreement, then we'd be waiting, and you know, weeks mm-hmm. and weeks would pass, and then we'd find out, oh, we're back to square one. So it was frustrating. And then the new site wouldn't be the appropriate site for whatever piece we were thinking of. So It was frustrating.
Yeah, and I think another useful part of this could be also, you know, especially with flood control, but other construction projects as well, just kind of having all those timelines in one place. And of course those change from time to time with, you know, public work schedules change, but just, you know, you can kind of then identify, okay, this is a good spot for a piece of art, but there's going to be a flood control system project right there. So that's one we probably want to wait a couple of years before we think about it, because why put in a piece of art if you're just going to have to take it right back down?
Will the consultant also be looking at where our current art pieces are to say, we really think you should move this? Like, I'm thinking of that stupid little Statue of Liberty, for instance. I mean, I, you know, might say, you know, I think we should move this over here. It would look better to have the continuity of the city, or, you know.
Well, that would be one easy way, or one inexpensive way to sort of send off a few sparks would be just to rearrange the artwork we have, you know. Little shifting around, so the impression, overall impression, would be, oh, something's happening, something's changed. Might start a discussion about, oh yeah, I remember seeing that over by wherever. I'm not really promoting this idea, but when you mentioned about moving artwork. It just, well, you know, that frame, the big frame, that's been moving around the city. I think just the dynamics of that is interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one to add. I didn't have that explicitly in the scope of work, but I think that's definitely something that
the other thing is, I do think for some other groups, I'll use murals and more as an example, if they knew that this is our overall plan, then maybe they wouldn't just suddenly, we'd find a mural being popped up someplace that we knew nothing about and we didn't have a say about because, you know, it was on a private building. If they had the overview with the recommendation before, even if it's private building, please at least bring us in the loop and look at the overall city plan before you just slap something up, which might end up being where we don't want it because of a plan that we have already for the area. And I'll use Green Square Park as an example, not that we have a plan there, but now they just put that mural up there that everybody hates. Well, I won't say everybody, but what if we
it's true, Lynn, everybody hates it.
What if we had had a plan of something on our thing that we were going to put something amazing in front of that thing, and now they slapped up that mural? I just think it's important to at least say that before you can put anything, and I'd like the parks parking system also to be involved in this because they're putting
And I mean, I think that group is, I mean, after the Green Square mural, I think they're much more aware of this group's role, but I do think it's just a good like relationship building opportunity and also just kind of consensus building, like get everyone on the same page, because, you know, I don't want private business owners to feel like, oh, the VAC is like the gatekeeper to all murals, but at the same time, like,
but there should at least be a discussion. If they say we want to do something, say that's fine, but know that we have a plan for this in front of it. So do you really want to spend your money to put it on your building when we're going to possibly block it with, I mean, and the other thing to be aware of, I don't know anything about that organization anymore, but the turnover is huge. And so just because some people might be aware of now doesn't mean that they will in 6 months or a year be aware.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think just having kind of a standing document that multiple groups have participated in developing is helpful.
Sylvia, will you send this document out to us?
Yeah.
That would be great.
Hi, everyone. I'm here. Just ran a little late at school, but here.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi.
I have an idea for a mural. I don't have any idea what the content of it is, and I don't know what colors will be used. But it involves a sort of gridding out a wall into squares that are whatever by whatever, 3 foot by 3 foot or 4 foot by 4 foot or something like that. And having it evolve from a single square being painted, and then the next year maybe another square is painted, and then the next year another one is painted until, you know, what, 16 years from now we have this thing finished. And each time a different artist takes it on is sort of tacitly required or expected to sort of have some sort of connection to the thing that it's, to the piece that's already there. That's the starting point. And then, you know, you can launch off to the moon from there, but maybe just visually a line that continues from one to the next or something, even though something completely different happens in the next frame. I think that would be an interesting project. And it would be a really great opportunity to involve community artists. I don't know whether that would, the choice of artists would be the result of a competition or a lottery or some other sort of decision-making process. I just think that would be an interesting mural and would, you know, when another one goes up, you know, it's another little ding, kind of like the dings I get when I get a new text message, you know. The whole town gets a little ding. The mural is now, you know, another square bigger. And these are the, this is the person that did it and so on. Anyway, I think that would be an interesting possibility, an interesting project.
I like that concept. I'm wondering if there's any portion of the flood control infrastructure that would be a wall that could be a good
going along the wall
for that.
That would be very cool.
It certainly could be if it's not already. Some parts of that wall or that flood berm or wall is are going to be flat vertical surfaces, right?
I think so.
Like walls. But it could also be part of a berm. I like the idea of carving out nooks out of this berm on the dry side of the river, on the dry side of the berm, and just, you know, cut out a wedge, make a little nook, maybe a series of nooks on this side of the berm, inside of which nook could be another mural, could be a sort of a nook for a sculpture. It could maybe temporarily or occasionally serve as a space for a vendor to set up shop during a art market or a produce market or something. Maybe sort of coincidentally, it has electricity too. That would be great.
That's a cool concept. I would be interested to see what the engineers have to say about cutting nooks into the flood wall, but.
Yeah, I know.
I think they don't want to the mural on. Concept might be.
That would be an engineer's, they would want to say something about that. I know.
I have a feeling they might not love cutting nooks out of the flood wall, but
well, maybe we could build out from the flood wall. We could build flying buttresses on the and have a perpendicular berm that also had a sort of an opening in it, and but it sort of came out from the berm and created a little space. Little interesting little space that sort of isolates itself from the surroundings a bit and provides the opportunity to sort of showcase something.
So I wonder if kind of what you're getting at here, we could like explode into a bigger concept, David, mm-hmm. to include in the scope of work a way to insert the sort of an assessment of whether or not there's an opportunity for art to be included in public works projects.
Yeah.
So how do we get an artist or a VAC person or city staff who, you know, are with the VAC to look at that or to even bring it to us to say, hey, here's this project before it's too late or before it's already down the road.
I went to a couple of the charrettes for the berms for the flood control, made similar sort of suggestions. I made another suggestion. I thought they ought to put a window in it. So, you know, if it does flood, we can see underwater through from the other side. I thought that would be fun. they didn't.
Either fun or gross, depending on.
Engineers really don't like artists showing up and, you know, shaking a bottle of ants.
You know, I'm wondering with David's idea, if, you know, in asking the consultant, is there any opportunities where we could maybe have that a project that they could recommend every year that's going to be an add-on piece? Uh-huh. And maybe they would come up with a thing. Maybe the add-on piece was, you know, I use history as the easiest thing, but something that has to do, you know, with Cedar Rapids rather than just any old design. it could be something, whether it's abstract or literal or in between, but it must have a, and I like your idea of connecting it, you know, with a line or something, but each one has to connect to the next one in some way, but it also has to have an overall vision, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Have any of you ever tried to get artists to work with a theme?
Oh yeah, I know. But
yeah.
I don't mean a narrow theme. I mean an overall broad, no, huh?
Even a broad one. I mean, honestly, it's like the minute you say that, they're like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Either that or the first thing they think of is, okay, how can I break those rules?
Yes.
How can I push that boundary? I'll show them.
Yeah. With you, David.
But the consultant would have an idea if we wanted to do some evolving yearly and add-on kind of project, if that's possible, where, how, you know.
Yeah, I like the also idea. I just like the idea of having something annual, because then we can be like every year in July we add to this piece, and it's a good way for local artists to do something and just, you know, just have an event every year.
And then part of the appreciation of the growing piece is for those appreciating it to figure out how they're related.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like
growing, a growing piece, you know, it's a never ending piece of art.
My original thought on this particular idea involved ceramic pieces that were, say, like 2 feet by 2 feet or 3 feet by 3 feet or something. That's the sort of thing, though, that could be organized by the Ceramic Center here. And they could maybe set a few guidelines that would... And I think people, if they're going through this institution, this little ceramics institution, I think they're, if they don't like the guidelines, they don't participate. But it's going to happen anyway, because we got this organization that's sponsoring it and pushing it and coaxing people to participate. I think that there's a possibility there, which, as opposed to trying to herd the cats as they show up, that's a difficult task, I think. You're going to get people who are just going to go in so many different directions. But if you want to have some control over it, or some guiding principle, perhaps, or guiding, I'm going to leave it up to somebody else to write the guidelines. Go ahead. I mean,
we could also do something where, you know, a certain number of spots are available per year and people apply with a concept, and the BAC selects a concept.
Yeah. And it could also be make sure that it's all kinds of medium, not just painting, but it could be, like you said, ceramics, it could be sculpture, it could be photography, it could be whatever.
Or we could have multiple locations and do something slightly different in each one. Especially if we can make some more of those berm extensions and have a whole series of ongoing projects.
I think we're running to the end of our time, aren't we, Sylvia?
Yes, we don't have the hard barrier anymore of HPC needing the Zoom account, because they're using a different Zoom account now, but yeah, it is 4 o'clock, so.
I did think of one other thing that I think might be a bad thing to add to the consultant's work list, which is, you know, a plan for ongoing public engagement.
I have one other idea that I'm personally very fond of. And it's the gargoyle project, where we commission a new gargoyle each year to go up on the corner of some building here in the Nouveau district. Of course, we have to coordinate with the owners of those buildings, and we have to sort of come up with some sort of standard mounting procedure or whatever, or customized procedure. But I just think that would be, I mean, that would make this neighborhood really interesting. You know, we don't have to conform to, you know, the Notre Dame motif. You know, we could have a contest also. We could have people submit concepts, maybe submit maquettes, you know, small little clay versions of what they have in mind, and then give them some guidelines as to how big we think it ought to be. You know, maybe no taller than 3 feet or something. anyway, I just think that would be so much fun. So it would be so interesting to have a gargoyle district.
Yeah. And then a gnome district. I think that would be cool.
Oh, gnome. Yeah. Let them do that over in Czech Village.
There you go.
What about like a Hobbit House district?
Ooh.
That's where I want to live.
I love that idea. That's a good one, David.
Well, but if you start doing that, the trolls are going to want their own district too.
Oh, God.
We can just put that in their fridge. That's fine. Yeah.
Well, can't they just forget the
leprechauns.
Can't the trolls live underneath those morel mushrooms?
Yeah, I think those should be.
I thought they lived under bridges.
Those are ogres.
We got a lot of bridges to choose from. So.
Well, we do have a lot of bridges that trolls could live under.
Yeah.
Could just be mystical creatures, you know, leprechauns, unicorns.
There you go.
Whatever comes under thing that's kind of dragons.
Yeah.
I think we would draw a lot of attention if we start doing these things.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Destination.
The first couple ones are going to trigger other people's imagination. Because not only is it an interesting thing to encounter when you come to the new boat district, but it's an interesting possibility for you yourself to make one.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of triggers creativity in others.
Yeah.
I think it would.
Which does bring up, you know, the locations of art could be on roofs.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to just be on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully the consultant will help us figure that out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on that happy note,
I have to leave.
Yep. Let's bring this to a close. So we're adjourned at 4:04 p.m. and we'll see you guys next month.
All right, everyone, take care.
Bye.
Thanks. Good to see you guys.
Have a good night.
You too.